Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. Now, Judy, I know you had an exciting time with your family last weekend. What'd you do?
Well, we went camping for the 4th of July, and I do think I might be the only person alive who doesn't like fireworks.
Really?
I don't know. They just don't do anything for me. I guess they're pretty from a distance and all, but when you're trying to sleep at 11 o'clock at night and you're sleeping, then boom!
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, geez.
So, but we had a lot of fun. Kids got to go swimming and fishing, and we put the lake, the boat in on Lake Beulah.
Oh, okay.
Which was interesting. We went there the first day, and we couldn't get on because the parking lot was full.
All the rigs were, all the spots were taken, yeah.
So you had to wait in line, and we're like, we're not going to wait in line. So the next day, we got out there early and stuff and did some fishing, and just a lot of fun. You know, the campfires and the s'mores. I mean, things you need to do, I think, with the kids. We went out with a whole bunch of little, like, 9-year-old boys. They're friends of my son, and they caught a fish right there at the beach, and they were so excited. It was actually a pretty decent-sized bluegill. So they brought it up to camp, and they had to cook it over the flame. And I mean, you can just imagine these guys at, you know, 50, 60 years old. Yeah, I remember the good old days when we sat there, we caught a big monster fish and cooked it over the flame and ate it right there.
Yeah,
Watch the eyeballs boil or whatever, you know, just think, you can see them making
creating
memories.
Creating memories, absolutely.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. I'm still a little sore from sleeping on the ground, but what are you going to do?
Well, you know, they have pads and air mattresses and stuff like that.
And some of the folks we were with had the air mattresses and they deflated, you know, so it's... You can't win for trying. But how about you?
Well, speaking of fireworks, I've got my boat from Heckles. I went up to Eagle River a week ago Thursday.
No explosions, I hope.
I was coming back late at night, and I'm coming through Kewaskum, and I could see the fireworks ahead, and I thought, this is cool. I'll watch the fireworks. Well, I hit Kewaskum about 10 o'clock when they're all letting out, of course, and so I had a half hour. It takes me 5 minutes to drive through Kewaskum. I'm towing a boat, and everybody is leaving the fireworks, and so I got to sit there and...
How's the boat?
It's great. It's great. I got a 1750 Fishhawk like you did, but mine's a side console.
Okay.
And I've got the 115 Optimax on it and some Humminbird locators.
Okay.
And, you know, it's everything I wanted. It's exactly the kind of boat that I like to fish with because it's got the bow-mounted trolling motor. Remote control power guide this year, or motor guide this year. Is that what you've got too?
Yeah, well, I've got the tiller or the transom
mount motor guide,
which I love. It works really well. I got the 80-pound thrust and it works great.
Yeah, but this is neat because you can be anywhere in the boat and use the pedal and either with your feet or by hand. So and I was in the Glendale 4th of July parade the next day, so I brought the boat back late Thursday night and cleaned it up on Friday morning and rode in the Glendale Parade and, of course, take the usual jokes about where's the water and where's the fish. So I wore one of Jeff Kahlo's hats, a great big sturgeon hat, and I had one of those rainbow trout pillows and a roll of duct tape, and anything people wanted, there was. I showed it to them and had a good old time. I love parades once or twice a year like that.
Do you throw candy or mini mites?
mini mites.
I don't know.
I throw ironclads.
There you go.
Yeah, they try to eat them, unfortunately. Jay Dillig, who drove his dad's red pickup, because Jim Dillig passed away last fall, and Jay is driving now and towing the boat, and so he tossed a few lollipops, and his grandson Armando was wearing a fish hat and tossing lollipops.
Nice.
So I don't know if they read the rules carefully on what you're supposed to do in the prayer, but we had a great time.
Oh, good.
They had fun. And then I actually fished with Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, not with Dumper himself, but I've got 3 charter trips with Dumper Dan this year. So we're
rough life.
Yeah, well, one is, make up from last year, but... he's putting me out on a different boat with a different captain each time. So I was out with George Gahagan and Mark Ziegler, and Glenn Gergen, who bought this trip at our Outdoor Wisconsin banquet, and he brought some friends, Ken Rader and Brian Happ and Pete Wilms, and we caught 8 salmon. It wasn't a fast day, but they were all good eating size, and I had one the other night for dinner. It was excellent.
Good.
And then on Sunday I went out on the Sheboygan Marsh and one of Brad... Karstad's Hydrojet canoes, because he and I are doing a segment in that on those boats, and I wanted to test them on that weedy water, and did just fine.
So, oh, good.
Yeah, Deadeye and I went out with some of her old friends, and we took two boats and went across the lake and up into the marsh. We had a great time.
Well, speaking of upcoming Outdoor Wisconsin shoots, what's on this week's show?
Well, Judy, Delavan Lake is going to be featured, and you will be fishing for bass with Ron Urich and John Hines.
That was fun.
Yeah. You guys had more fun than I did. I was running the camera boat. And, but anyway, it's a great and nice fish. I mean, there's some 3-4 pound bass, largemouths. I think this is the dock fishing segment. And Pat Ellers is going to show us how to tie a deer hair bass book.
Okay.
He operates the Fly Fishers on Greenfield Avenue there near the State Fair Park.
Good. All very timely. And we'll be talking to some guys, I think, later about Delavan. Who's on this week's show?
Well, this week we're going to talk with Eric Hadia of Big Fish Guide Service, he's been fishing the southeast Wisconsin lakes and doing really well. And we'll go up north for a report from Roger LePenter at Anglers All in Ashland. And also, a gal I met at the Outdoor Writers Association conference in Bismarck, North Dakota, who is, you know, to meet her and talk with her, you would not think of her as an undercover police officer, but she was the first female undercover agent for the Fish and Wildlife Service, and we'll learn about some of her adventures.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. And we've got a giveaway.
All
we've got a pair of Glacier gloves.
Okay.
And folks who are interested in winning a pair of Glacier gloves, and they have warm gloves, they have technical gloves for fishing, for paddling, for bow hunting, all kinds of different sports. Check out their website, which is glacieroutdoor.com, but give us a call at 414-297-7554, or simply go online and at lake-link.com/radio, and where it says contact Dan and Judy, click there, send us an email, say you want to enter the drawing for the Glacier gloves, and either way, leave us your name and your phone number, and we'll pick one winner and announce that at this time and next week's show.
Very good.
We'll be right back after this.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers. Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday for Sporting Clays shooting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. On the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's 920-699-2249. Lake Link, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out Lake Link's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
Lake Link has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of Lake Link, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And Lake Link will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The Lake Link Advantage program offers discounts to Lake Link members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the Lake Link radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. And send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on the lake-link.com, keyword radio.
Do you care enough to buy the best equipment? Unfortunately, what's desirable to you is desirable to thieves, too.
Introducing DuraSafe's trolling motor lock that fits all Minn Kota transom mount trolling motors.
It eliminates the hassle of removing and reattaching your motor whenever you pull into shore or while you sleep.
Visit DuraSafeLocks.com today to learn more about the DuraSafe trolling motor lock, inexpensive, lightweight protection for your valuable investment.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
Hey, I'm Matt Moret, five-time world turkey calling champion.
Hi, I'm Ted Takasaki.
Hi, everybody. Al Linder here.
Hi, I'm Joe Booker.
Hello, everybody.
I'm Bill Dance, and you're listening to Outdoors with Judy and Dan.
Well, Dan, it's that time of year when I remember going up to Lake Superior. You know, we did it several years in a row with the camera crew, and I know the fishing can be great. The weather's always nice, it seems. And joining us on the line is Roger LePenter of Anglers All. And, Roger, how is the fishing up there? Is it as good as I remember?
It's better.
Oh, thanks. That's just what we needed to hear.
How's that for an answer?
So what's going on?
Well, a little bit of everything. The bass are coming off of the spawn right now, so they're very active. They're feeding up and moving out into the deeper waters. The lake trout fishing has been just exceptional out in the deep water. And the walleyes are starting to move into the shallow waters, feeding up on all the fry and the young of the year fish. So all in all, the fishing in the bay has been just terrific. We are a little later than we were last year as far as time periods when things are happening. So the inland lakes are still fishing panfish really well. We're seeing the bluegills are still up on the reds.
Oh, that's good. All your ice is gone, right, just for the record?
Hallelujah. Yes, the ice is gone.
Okay.
No, the water's quite warm. We're up in the low or high 60s, low 70s,
Okay.
Depending on the day. So, yeah, we're in good shape as far as temperature goes.
Well, my family just got back. They spent a week in Brule and just loved it and had excellent fishing. They think it's perhaps one of the best trips ever, and they were seeing the same things. It seems like everything was delayed. The weed growth was delayed. The bass seemed to be on their beds later, you know, almost up to like 3 weeks of delay. I mean, are you seeing that drastic of a delay?
It's not quite that drastic, but I'd say it's a good 2 weeks behind from a normal year. The hex hatches started about 4 days ago, which is pretty much on schedule. And the trout fishing on the Brule, the White River, the Nemacogin have just been best year ever. I mean, they're just lots of bugs and lots of fish.
Wow. So the folks who in southern Wisconsin who suffered the floods and all that, none of that hit you folks up there?
Not at all. We were very fortunate. Most of it went south.
What are you seeing with muskies? Because I've heard they've been really slow, and people are hoping those water temperatures are going to rise, and then suddenly it's just going to be a bonanza of muskie fishing. Have we hit that yet? What are you seeing?
I think that happened yesterday.
Really? Okay. I'm on my way.
Yeah, really. I mean, it was that quick, too. All of a sudden, things warmed up on the inland lakes, and boom, the muskies were there.
Wow.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and it's really kind of neat because we saw lots of muskies earlier, but they just, you know, they were coming up looking at things. They weren't real aggressive, but now they're on the feet.
Huh. Well, good. So how are they catching the lake trout, you say, out in deep water?
Most of that's trolling, spoons, wobble glows, spinning glows. They're out in that 90 to 150 foot of water.
Are they deep or are they...
They're holding deep, pretty much. Uh-huh. If you get up real early in the morning before the sun comes up, you can find them up a little higher suspended, but most of them are bouncing the bottom for them now.
Mm-hmm. And the bass?
Same old, same old.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bass. They just, if you find them, they eat.
Yeah.
Plastics have been working really well. I've been fishing a lot of wacky worms this year, more than I ever had.
Okay.
And it's just kind of fun, you know, something different. And the top water action has been fantastic when the wind's down.
Yeah.
It seems like they're just waiting to eat off the top right now.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, we'll have to get up there at some point.
Yeah.
I know you and I are fishing sometime in October, but I want to get up there before then if we can possibly do that.
Well, that'd be great. I'm sure the fishing's just going to continue to just get better and better.
Well, great.
Hey, any blueberries?
I'm not talking.
Yes. All right, good. That's what we need to know.
Okay.
All right. Well, for information on blueberries and all the hot fishing spots,
do
and
not
more,
call Roger.
Yeah.
No, they're just starting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good.
Well, Roger, thanks so much for that report. It's always fun talking to you, and I can't wait to get up there and fish with you.
Excellent. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Rod.
You bet.
That was Roger LePenter of Anglers All in Ashland, and you can call them at 715-682-5754 or log on to their website, anglersallwisconsin.com.
You and me go fishing in the dark.
Judy, let's take a look at events coming up around the state.
All right. At the new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, there will be an arrow fletching seminar from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday, July 14th.
Robin Hood's teaching that, I think.
Look out. Then there will be a GPS seminar, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, July 24th, and you can learn all about how to use your GPS unit. And for other upcoming events, you can call the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse at 262-641-2000 or visit them on the web at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
And the Rough Grouse Society has a golf scramble in Marshfield on Saturday, July 19th, a youth day in Chicago on the next day, Sunday, July 20th, and in Kalamazoo, Michigan, a dog training seminar on Saturday, July 26th. For details on these and other upcoming events, including banquets, log on to ruffedgrousesociety.org. Click on the drop-down menu membership information and then on events and banquets. And don't forget to check out all the bargains on their new rgstravel.org site. And at Milford Hills Hunt Club, there is a lot going on this summer. The UW football fundraiser shoot is scheduled for Thursday, July 17th. That's an all-day event. And the Safari Club International fundraiser shoot, an all-day event on Saturday, July 19th. And the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association Waterfowl Skills Day is Sunday, July 20th. And this is it starts at 9, and it'll include calling, dog handling, duck identification, and more. You must pre-register, and space is limited, so call 262-567-1300 for that event. And, of course, the Outdoor Wisconsin Family Adventure Day will be Sunday, August 17th. Mark your calendar now and plan to spend the day with me and a lot of folks doing exciting things at Milford Hills. For more information on these and other events, call 920-699-2249 or log on to milfordhills.com.
And the Wisconsin Fishing Club is having a meeting Monday, July 17th, and their speaker will be Warren Zarin, and he'll talk about Green Bay and Sturgeon Bay walleyes, smallmouths, and muskies. This will take place at Calhoun Station in New Berlin, and the meeting's at 7 at night. They'll have, of course, the speaker, and they'll have a raffle of all kind of fishing equipment. That'll start at 8 p.m. Entry cost is $3, and hot pizza is available. So for more information, you can call 414-464-9316. And the Wisconsin Traditional Archers State Shoot will be at the Racine Instinctive Bowman Club July 19th through the 20th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. both days. There'll be a whole bunch of 3D targets for folks to shoot at. And for more information, you can contact Shane Hill at 262-639-7236.
And we've got a couple warnings from the DNR, and this is a new one from the wardens on the Wisconsin River. They urge extreme caution when boating on the river between Lake Delton and the Columbia Power Plant because there's a lot of debris from the homes that were destroyed when Lake Delton washed out last month. Some of this debris is floating. Much of it is submerged just below the surface, a lot like an iceberg. And wardens have documented at least 80 piles of debris, some of it as large as a section of roof. And these may break up and float downstream at any time. Efforts to remove the debris are underway, but slow, no-wake boating is recommended for this area. If you want to see photos and an update on the debris in the river, go to dnr.wi.gov and click on Flood Alert.
And there's a warning from the DNR Forestry Department to help prevent the spread of forest pests, such as the emerald ash borer and gypsy moth. If you are camping, it is illegal to bring firewood from more than 50 miles away into any managed state property, including state parks and forests. You need to buy your firewood locally, or it will be confiscated at the park entrance. Also, it is illegal to transport firewood out of the states of Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Anyone moving firewood out of these states is subject to a federal fine of $1,000. And, Dan, I know folks were looking for that last weekend, so you got to pay attention to those warnings.
Good. All right. Well, folks, we'll be back right after this with an exciting interview with a retired special agent for the Fish and Wildlife Service.
I've been known to
This next segment is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. And Judy, last month at the Outdoor Writers Association conference,
mm-hmm.
I met some very interesting people,
okay.
including a lady who is a retired special agent for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and she worked undercover primarily in hunting camps throughout the West, and she's authored a new book, A Hunt for Justice, The True Story of a Woman Undercover Wildlife Agent.
Sounds dangerous.
Well, I'm sure it was, and we have her on the line, and her name is Lucinda Schroeder.
Okay.
And we'll let her tell us just how dangerous that job was. Lucinda, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. Now, this book is your account of how you helped bring down, or pretty much did it yourself there, brought down an illegal Alaskan big game hunting camp. And you told me part of the story, and we want you to share it with our listeners. But first of all, were you the first female undercover agent for Fish and Wildlife?
Yes, I was. I was hired in 1974,
mm-hmm.
and actually prior to 1971 or 72, it was illegal to hire women for law enforcement jobs in the federal government, and that was changed around 1972, so I was actually, you know, that first small ripple of women who came into federal law enforcement around that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's because the work is dangerous, or what is the work?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know the official reason, but the word on the street has always been that J. Edgar Hoover did not want women in his FBI.
Okay.
Now, FBI and Fish and Wildlife, there are some parallels, aren't there?
They're comparable in many, many ways. We, both agencies, enforce federal laws. We have the same training requirements. We have the same... you know, the search warrants and the affidavits and the work that we do with the United States Attorney's Office is all the same. And the Fish and Wildlife Service does work with the FBI on cases. I recall a number of cases where I worked directly with them.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about finding, are these poachers? You can't be sitting behind a tree waiting, you know, what, are you in bars looking for scuttlebutt, or, you know, where do you go?
That's a good question, Judy. What usually happens is that somebody, you know, a hunter who has been inside an illegal camp feels badly about it and will call a fish and game official with one of the states, or call the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service directly. It's usually an anonymous call. So we function largely on tips, and tips are very important for wildlife enforcement.
Now, I understand there's a Wisconsin connection to this Alaska story that you wrote about.
Well, there is. We had received information, again anonymously, that there was a guide, a hunting guide in Wisconsin, who was the head guide for an illegal hunting operation in the middle of the Brooks Range of Alaska. So as an undercover person, I set up an undercover a proposal, if you will, as to how we would approach getting into the camp in Alaska, because we'd already heard that the Alaskan outfitter was very concerned about getting wrapped up in a federal sting, because other Alaskan guides have had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I teamed up with an informant who knew the bartender. He was a bartender in the northwestern part of the state. And we went and met with him and talked with him and socialized with him. And eventually the bartender invited us to book hunts in this notorious hunting camp in Alaska.
And how did the camp work? Was it a fly-in camp, or?
Yes, it was strictly fly-in.
Okay.
And the outfitter used his airplanes to facilitate the hunts. He used his airplane to spot big game from the air, and then he would drop off his hunters so they could just, you know, walk a few easy yards or whatever and get their trophy. Or in the case of grizzly bears, he would actually herd the grizzly bear to the hunter, so all the hunter had to do was, you know, look down his scope and fire at a bear that was running right towards him. It was illegal. It was a violation of the Airborne Hunting Act, and just a I mean, these people were hunters. They were shooters. They were killers of wild animals. They had no respect for wildlife or the whole aspect of fair chase. But to answer your question, yeah, the outfitter also catered to European clients. And he was building a pretty strong clientele, mostly out of Germany, Luxembourg, Spain, places like that, because these hunters would come to the United States, come to Alaska, go on their dream hunt, where the outfitter had guaranteed their hunt. He told them in writing, and he told them through their hunting booking agents, that, look, whatever your client wants, he will absolutely get at my hunting camp in Alaska. And as anybody who hunts knows that hunting is not a 100% proposition. You're not guaranteed anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, regardless of that, his clientele was building, and they were European hunters who would violate the law in Alaska, American law, and take these illegal trophies back to Europe or wherever they came from, and then the United States government could never reach them.
So how did you bring down this operation?
Well, I got into the camp, to make a long story short. I got into the camp and just hunted with them, and the guides took me on an illegal doll sheep hunt, and so I ended up shooting a trophy sheep, a doll sheep, a very difficult hunt, of course, but I had to do it in order to, you know, make a case against the outfitter and the guide. And then there were three hunters from Spain who were at the camp,
mm-hmm.
and I have a Spanish language background, and I turned into their interpreter, which had a huge impact on intelligence gathering because they were telling me everything,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me lots of information that I was able to back up with corroborating evidence and whatnot and statements from others, and so that's kind of how I work basically. But all the details are in the book, of course.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But then it got exciting when you had to go to Spain to bring these guys back or bring them to justice.
Yeah, what happened was that the outfitter, after he was arrested on December the 5th, 1992, and he was arrested and he got a lawyer immediately and would make no statements. He absolutely wouldn't say anything. So this was a situation where guys like the Spanish hunter had been out with this outfitter alone, and they and the outfitter wouldn't fess up as to what had gone on in the field. The Spaniards, meanwhile, came back and told me everything. To bolster this up, the United States attorney wanted me to get the statements from the Spaniards, and I was really the only one who could do it because I was the only one who spoke enough Spanish to do it, and I was with them and was really in the best position to make contact with them and get statements out of them, which is what I did.
And I understand your book has been picked up by the Discovery Channel now.
Yes, it has. A Hunt for Justice is very unique for a wildlife case, and it reads like a fiction. It has a lot of exciting elements. It was very dangerous for me working out of that camp, but it comes to a good conclusion. So just like a good read. You know, it has a beginning and a middle and an end, and it has several climaxes, and it comes to a good conclusion. And so the Discovery Channel has picked it up. It will be part of a 13-week series on undercover work on Discovery investigations, and I think it will begin in January or February of 2009.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, this is extremely dangerous work, as you've indicated, and as your book points out. Why in the world did you get into it?
Well, because I could. Being female and being, I was a natural shooter. I've always been able to shoot a firearm. And I only went into situations where a female approach or a woman approach would be the best. Undercover work is just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I did a lot of what they call overt investigations, just straight up investigations like you see on TV all the time. And then I did some undercover work when it was required. I was born overseas. I think one of my tricks, if you will, or advantages, was I was born overseas, and when I was growing up, I moved to a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
And each place, had sort of a new subculture and new people and new things going on, and I had to adapt to those very quickly. Because, my father was in the military, and we moved every 3 years, so... What I'm saying is that's kind of like what undercover workers are like.
Sure.
You go into these different little worlds, and you have to adapt to those situations and learn to live within that group for a period of time.
Now, I'm curious, in your experience, how widespread of a problem are these camps? Are there a lot of them?
There are a lot of camps. Hunting is especially in Alaska and throughout the West. You know, it's a very popular sport. There, I'd say most camps are legal, but it's very difficult to ferret out the illegal ones.
Hmm.
And usually what happens, as I mentioned, is word of mouth. Something trickles out. But in the case of involving a hunt for justice, we had some intelligence information, but nobody would come forward and say their name. They wouldn't testify. They wouldn't do anything. So we had to go in. That's why we had to infiltrate the camp to find out firsthand what was actually going on.
Wow. Okay. Well, Lucinda, that's really an amazing career that you've told us about and that you've documented in your book. And we need to take a break now, but when we come back, would you tell us maybe one of the more exciting, harrowing, if you will, incidents in your career?
Sure.
Okay. We'll be back with more right after this.
Go back to a time of roadsters, ragtops, rumble seats, and gas that didn't cost an arm and a leg. Come to Iola for the 36th annual Iola Old Car Show and Swap Meet, happening July 10th through the 13th. This is the Midwest's greatest old car show and swap meet. Thousands of vendors and classic car fanatics will converge on Iola for 4 days of fun and memories. See up to 2,500 show cars from the early 1900s through 1979. Shop and swap in over 4,400 swap spaces with everything you need to fix up your classic car. And with over 1,000 classic cars for sale, you can make that cherry ride you dreamed of in your teens a reality. Make a weekend of it. 4 day passes are only $15. Kids 10 and under get in free. Campsites are available. Parking and shuttle service is free. Learn more at iolaoldcarshow.com. Don't miss the 36th annual Iola Old Car Show and Swap Meet, happening July 10th through the 13th.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 National Champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad Soft Bait Brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535. Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday for Sporting Clays shooting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. On the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's 920-699-2249.
Worked all week, got it all done. Let's make a Tennessee River run.
We're talking with Lucinda Schroeder, who's a retired special agent for the Fish and Wildlife Service, and she worked undercover in a number of operations, including one in Alaska that brought down an illegal big game hunting operation there. And Lucinda, we'd like to hear about one of the more exciting and maybe dangerous incidents in that sting operation.
Well, working undercover is dangerous in itself, especially in remote hunting camps, because if some of the suspect became suspicious, obviously, you know, the undercover agent could be the victim of a hunting accident or be dropped off and left in the woods or whatever. You know, there's any number of things that could happen. But in Alaska, the first day that I was there, the outfitter, his name is Bob Bowman in the book, he wouldn't even let me get my gear unpacked. I was in my tent taking my gear out, and he said, get 3 days worth of stuff and come on, we're going right now. And I said, well, where are we going? And he says, we're going sheep hunting. And I went, oh, that's kind of unusual. I mean, you know, I'd only been in the camp for less than an hour. So I got... He took me in a Super Cub, and they all fly these Piper Super Cubs, and they land them on the gravel bars of rivers and things, and somewhat on the tundra as well. But anyway, he takes me out, and we fly around for a while, and then he lands on a river gravel bar and drops me off and just leaves me there. He says, I'll be back. But I had no confidence in that. I had no basis for, I had no idea what he was doing because he wouldn't talk to me.
Now, you don't have like a satellite phone or something where you can call for help?
No.
I mean, what if, so if your life is threatened, you're on your own.
This was 92. Well,
yeah, 92, we didn't have satellite phones, and that's right. If you're on your own.
Okay.
And while I was out there alone, I had figured out a way. I knew which direction the Alpine, or the oil road was, what they call it. And I knew which direction the pipeline road was, and I was just going to walk until I got there. You know, it might have taken me a couple of days, but that was my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's no telling what could have happened. And, you know, I was out alone with these illegal guides in spike camps, and, you know, they had guns, and, you know, it was pretty tenuous.
Yeah, wow. Did you think he was on to you?
I did. And there were several things that had happened in that first hour that I was in the camp that made me worry. One of them was that just as I was coming in, there was a hunter that I knew I had sighted before on the Missouri River for overbacking on Canada geese.
Mm.
I knew him, and I was terrified that he was going to recognize me. I did all I could to hide my face, not be seen by him, and I thought that I did that until this incident with Bowman where he takes me out and drops me off. He eventually came back and picked me up, and he was actually out spotting a sheep for me.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine in your career you've had a number of aliases, and you've been teamed up with bogus husbands on husband and wife hunts and that type
of thing. Yeah, I sure have. And I didn't have any trouble keeping anything straight because, you know, I was always working a different group, and I did that for 30 years, and I loved every minute of it.
Wow. And folks, you can read all about at least the Alaska part of that that 30-year career in Lucinda's new book, which is called A Hunt for Justice. And who's the publisher?
The publisher is Lions Press.
Okay.
And A Hunt for Justice can be ordered from any bookstore, but it can also be ordered from Amazon.com.
Okay. And you've got a website, ahuntforjustice.com.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Are you seeing more women enter now that you've kind of broken the ground? Are there new recruits coming up?
Yes. I wouldn't say that it's overwhelming. The FBI have hired a lot more women percentage-wise than the Fish and Wildlife Service has. But the Fish and Wildlife Service only has about 211 agents nationwide anyway. It's always been a small number, you know, and that has not changed since the early 70s. That number has fluctuated pretty, you know, just within 200 to 235 agents constantly through the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're busy.
All right. Well, Lucinda, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you. I just enjoyed being here so much.
All right. And folks, check out her book. I think you'll find it very exciting.
Okay.
That segment was brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only 5-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. This fishing report is brought to you by Mercury Outboards. Mercury, number one on the water. And speaking of number one on the water, I don't know anybody who spends more time fishing than Eric Hadia.
You got that right.
Oh, big fish guide service. And he sent me a photo, a collection of photos, probably a couple of weeks now ago, of some humongous smallmouth bass. So, Eric, I know you're out there after bass and pike and muskies all over this part of the state anyway, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, the bass fishing has been, as usual, it's been tremendous here, Dan. And we've, right now, this time of the year, you know, the fish are all post-spawn. They're kind of just now to the deep weeds. Mm-hmm. And so we're really able to start focusing a lot on drop shot. And I've been catching a lot of really big fish on big jigging pigs, big rock stalker and bass stalker jigs and stuff like that. So the pike bite's going good now that the thermocline's finally setting up and the muskies are starting to bite. But it has been a very odd year, to say the least, with the rain and the cool water temps. It's kind of kept some of the fish from sliding out on the deep weeds, and we're having to work a little bit for them. But when you find them, they seem to be really, really bunched up, either right on the weed edges or in the weeds still, which is a little abnormal for this time of the year. Sometimes, historically, I'll get fish, you know, deep right now, and with the water temps, you know, 72, the fish really don't have a reason to leave the weeds. They'll stay there and feed because the bait's there, but when the water temps start to get up in the 80s and stuff and pushes all the bait out and the bluegills down deeper, usually that, you know, all the big game fish will follow.
Now, I'm curious if you've been up to the Door lately. I've heard when you're talking about bass and fish in the rocks, I've heard Riley's has been really producing some nice bass as of late.
Well, I have not. I mean, in the last few weeks, I'm mainly just fishing Geneva and Delvin and Okeechee and those lakes, Mendota. Those are the lakes in the southern part of the state here that I've typically done well for both the largemouth and the smallmouth. But, I mean, you know, in this state, I don't think there's a better fishery for smallmouth than, Door County. It's just that it's, about 3 hours for me to drive up there.
Sure.
And married and having the kids and stuff, it's tough to get away that far.
And you still have to buy your gas, right?
You got it, man, just like everybody else. We're all making somebody rich.
Right,
so.
Right.
Hey, do any of those lakes have a slow no wake because of the rains?
The only one that I'm aware of here in the area is now, I know Pewaukee still is. Okay. I don't know about some of the smaller lakes, but Geneva and Delavan and Okeechee are all... You can go ahead and zip around if you need to be. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they lifted Lake Beulah a couple days ago. So I was just curious because, yeah, those are great lakes, but they're even better if the water skiers aren't out there.
Yeah, and you know what's funny that you mentioned that because I really don't mind the slow no wake. It's really nice to be out on a body of water, even on a weekend, and just not seeing, I mean, don't go to these lakes. I mean, if you come to southern Wisconsin and you come and fish Geneva, make sure you get there early in the morning. I mean, like
right.
5 in the morning.
Right.
A, to get a spot, and B, come, 9, 10 o'clock. There is, unfortunately, there was a person that was struck by a boat and passed away, and pray for that family and stuff, but there is not as much, law enforcement, I think, on the lakes to kind of say to the boaters, hey, you guys are responsible for your wakes, and when you're coming 20 feet by, boats, when they're, 200 feet long and creating a 3-4 foot wake that almost knocks people over, they just don't do anything about it. I don't ever see, and maybe it's just because, all these people live on the lakes down there, but don't go down there and fish on a weekend at 10, 11 o'clock because it's horrible with boat traffic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so get out early, fish during the week if you can.
Yeah,
and,
or at night on that lake.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay. Well, if folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Well, they can usually just go to my website where we have all the fishing reports and all the other guides information there. It's WIBigFish.com, and all our contact information's right there.
Okay. Well, Eric, thanks a lot for taking a little time out of your busy schedule, and good luck out there this season, and we'll be checking in with you from time
to
time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right.
That was Eric Hadia of Big Fish Guide Service, and this fishing report was brought to you by Mercury Outboards. Mercury, number one on the water.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Finelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits. They give me that competitive edge to win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 national champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad Soft Bait Brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
Milford Hills Hunt Club is open year-round with upland bird hunting, sporting clays, shooting instruction, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Milford Hills features state-of-the-art electronic traps in a sporting clays course, elevated five-stand, and oscillating wobble trap. Enjoy open and league shooting Wednesday and Thursday evening and during the day on Saturday and Sunday, or sharpen your skills in a personal lesson or a shooting clinic. Milford Hills Hunt Club's first-class restaurant offers a full menu for lunch and dinner. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at bachelor party outings of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Log on to MilfordHills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's 920-699-2249.
Hey, Judy, want to pull into shore and get some lunch?
I don't know. I hate to leave the boat sitting here with all these expensive electronics on board.
Not a problem. Look, I've got a universal electronics lock from DuraSafe. It's a tough little inexpensive way to stop electronics thieves dead in the water.
That sounds cool. Hey, if you like that idea and want to know more, visit DuraSafeLocks.com today and check out the universal electronics lock.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com. Well, Judy, I understand you've got a little vacation coming up. You're going away for a couple weeks.
Yes, and I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to the Canadian Rockies.
Ooh.
We're going up to Banff.
Uh-huh.
It's supposed to just be gorgeous. Of course, we're going with the family, with the kids. It's the first time in the airplane. I'm not going to any illegal hunting camps.
Oh.
Or game camps.
You're not going undercover, huh?
Nope, not going dollar sheep hunting.
Yeah.
But looking forward to it. We're going to the Lake Louise area. We're flying into Calgary, and then we're driving up to Banff, and I guess Lake Louise is a little higher up than that, and there's Banff National Park. There's waterfalls and hiking, and there's a fossil trail you can go on and look at fossils, and I'm bringing the camera and just... Oh, I'm really looking forward to it.
The Blue Canadian Rockies. You know that song? There's a,
no.
Yeah, well...
Sing it for us.
Well, that's all I know, and something about Lake Louise, so...
Okay, well, maybe we'll hear it when we're up there, but...
All right, yeah, well, that sounds great.
Yeah, so, going to be gone for a while, though.
You're going to camp?
No, we're getting, you know, different resorts in different towns and stuff like that, which is kind of good. My back needs to recover from my last camp.
Too much sleeping on the ground.
If you're going to camp and you're going to fly, I mean, what are you going to do? Fly with your tent?
Well, you can... Rent gear, I suppose. But.
I don't want to rent gear when I get there. And what if it rains? You know, I like this. You know, it's a little bit more of the vacation, attitude. It's expensive with the dollar the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, when you book it a year in advance, you got to live with those things. So.
Right. So last weekend, the rough camping, and next week and
a couple weeks
of luxury resorts. Well, that's great. Well,
yep.
You'll have to give us a full report.
Sure.
We're bringing
the fly rods, so we're going to fish the Bow River and any other little glacier streams I can hit. So
excellent.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
All right.
You'll have to hold down the fort without me.
I will. We'll miss you, and we'll talk to you when you come back.
That sounds fun.
You've been listening to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small and Judy Nugent, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. Join us again next week.
On one cold leg, when the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you when my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale. When my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be